Thanks, Grace Corp, everyone for coming, and all those that were misguided this year. And members, this year is coming from you yourselves. The Mispalim asked to have a year of this nature. And for Kol HaKavod, it's something very special that it's part of Avodas Hashem. You know, we're not going to be marach in the importance of malacha and working to mefarnes hamishpacha, and it's the sense of achrayus one gains from malacha and negia karpecha. We wish we didn't have to work so hard. That's part of gullus, part of what we daven for, that we won't have to keep on working so hard, and we had more time to learn. But lamaisa, we're working, and we're mefarnes hamishpacha, and we're giving staka. But at the same time, it's a tremendous challenge that we're working out in the world. It's not a new issue. You see already the Rishonim discussed this. Even in Chazal already there's discussion about it. But certainly time we've shown him in Europe, there is an interaction between Yidim and Goyim, and the post can discuss it in length. How to deal with it. And certainly, the more freedom there was, and emancipation, and so on and so forth, going from the 1700s into our time, and there's more interaction with Goyim, the challenges of this interaction have grown. And certainly in our time, we're in the feeling, in the work field of which the etzim is a good idea, that of people working together and teamwork, and that's the everyone working for the same company has something to do with each other. And the etzim, it's a good idea, but the fact that we're involved in that is even more challenging, and the social pressure. So let's try to discuss some of these inyanim, both the hashkaf and the lachas of these inyanim. You have to understand that the Klai Yisrael is supposed to be a Or La'amim. That we're supposed to be role models for the Goyim. Doesn't mean necessarily to be proactive and go out and teach and everything. That's a separate inyan. How much of that should be done or can be done, but just the mere fact that we exist, we are an Or La'amim. And whatever we do, wherever we go, we have a tremendous ability to make a Kiddush Hashem. And that the Goyim are really looking at us. There's a quote from the Secretary of State of France in the end of the 1800s, who, when he was asked about Nebuchadnezzar's time, Goyim converting for the first time in history in the already in the late 1700s, late 1800s, Yidden had the ability to convert on their own without having to be coerced. So he was told about this new phenomenon, about that Yidden going off to Derech and converting to Christianity. And he was very upset about it. He said, Jews have to act like Jews. We need them. He said, we need Yidden. We need Jews to be that role model for us. They're the whole source of belief in Emunah and in the Ribbono Shel Olam that we need. That they we know Jews need to act like Jews. It's not right that they are becoming Christians. And I don't know who this I forgot his name. I doubt he was such an Oyev Yisrael. But he realized that deep down you know how special Yidden are. And the same thing we have to keep in mind throughout our interaction with Goyim is that they make fun of us, and they have all these negative remarks for all different reasons. But deep down, they really respect us. Deep down, they really know part of their sinna is because of kina, our Sinai. We have the Torah; they don't. That caused tremendous. Chazal tell us, the tremendous sinna. And it's really kind of the jelly. They know that we are the chosen people deep down, and it hurts them. And at the same time, they really do respect, at least Amer- I'm talking about American Goyim, there's still this musug that they like people that keep the principles. You know, that if someone came, a man of principle, they have tremendous respect for that. I once went to Rabbi Menachem Mobile. That there was someone, there was Nifter. I didn't really know the Nifters so well. But I knew the children, so I went to Menachem Ovel. And I think it was the most emotional shiva call that I've ever made on the side of the Menachemim. That there were those that came to Menachem, the Avelim, and they were mamash crying. These were Goyim that worked with the Nifter. That's what I've seen. I wasn't so emotional, you know, whatever. But I'm sitting next to these people, and the man and woman. One was black. I mean, they were crying and crying. So I asked the saying how special he was, how much he meant to them, and so on and so forth. So I didn't know the Nifter so well. You know, he seemed like a nice good yid. So I went. His son says, you know, what was this all about? You know, what special relationship did your father have at work? So he said that, Bemis, you know, you saw my father, you knew, this person, he said, he looked like a rabbi. He wasn't at all. You know, he had a beard, wore a dark suit, white shirt, and everything else. I'm not saying everyone should do that for go to work necessarily, but he had his principles. And he was extremely nice to other people, and he treated even people who didn't treat him so nicely. He treated them nicely, and but he had principles, and he kept by them. And he said he was made fun of. Anything involving the news about Israel, he got hit hard for when he went to work, and it wasn't easy. But he stood very firm, you know, and he's a ish emes, had incredible levels of integrity and trust, and even at the end of the day, when he finally wasn't there anymore, they really missed him, you know. They expressed that love all the time, not necessarily, you know, but deep down, the goyim really respect a person that keeps their principles, and certainly a yid that keeps his principles. Never if there's the story is always in the paper about lack of integrity by Yidden. It's a miut, but we all know that those get magnified. But even without the stories, we have an obligation to be an Orla Amim, to be a role models for others. And that's why we have to realize that role model for the Goyim. And that's something we have to keep in mind as we're out there in the world. And obviously, you know, easier said than done. You have to also keep I'll just tell you one more story. There's a true story about a lawyer who was a very successful lawyer. He was involved in a case of millions of dollars, and he was going to get a nice chilek of that. And there's a lot of nibble peh being spoken at the time. The other professionals that were there, especially the one of them, you know, he couldn't even say a few words about the nibble pen, as we know this. So he commented to the main lawyer there, you know, how about you just keep it, you know, let's just make this deal without the nibble pen. So he said, I'll try. And a few minutes later, you know, still the person couldn't, it was so natural to him. So he commented again, and he said, really, you know, I just, let's just work on this deal. Just keep the nibble pen. You know, he said, I'll try. And, you know, eventually he said, I'm leaving the deal. And he left the deal. And that was it, closed the whole deal. It didn't go through because of him. And there's another from lawyer that was there who didn't have the same backbone as him. I'm not saying I would have either. But, and he was like, so impressed, surprised. And there's a regular, you know, nice, you know, yeshivish person, you have a lawyer, and it didn't look like any big kanai. So eventually, he was mavara that, you know, where did this person get this, you know, card from? When he was in yeshiva, so he was leaving yeshiva, going to going to law school. So his Rosh Yeshiva, one of the tells of Rosh Yeshivas, calls him in with cats. And so they want to speak to him. So he's assuming that, you know, what does my Rosh Yeshiva want to tell me? You know, make sure I daven, make sure I put on tefillin, make sure, this is, you know, this is 1950s or 60s, and, you know, make sure I go to Minyan. That's not what he said. He told him, he said, that you keep in mind that whatever you go, you have to make a Kiddush Hashem. That's your thing. You're going to go out in the world, you have to make a Kiddush Hashem. And that stood, you know, that was in his mind, and this happened years later afterwards. And but that was his theme of work. I'm here to make a Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is not necessarily so popular, but it's what Hashem wants. There's a story told about there was a father that went to pick up his daughter from the Benos group. This is written up in the Hakdama, one of these children's books. And he, it's a children's book written about stories about Kiddush Hashem. And the air was down that week. So he went to pick up his daughter, and as a young girl, she's used to having an Erev, and she had the tissues in her pocket, and she's on the street, you know, waiting for her father to pick her up. So he told his daughter, you know, you should take the tissues out and, you know, put them on the street. But she said, you know, but dad, you know what? It's a Chil Hashem. It's a Chil Hashem, you know, littering the street. So her father told her, he said, Kid Hashem, Chil Hashem is telling what does Hashem want? You know, Hashem doesn't want us to carry. So, so you know, putting tissues on the street is not a Chil Hashem. At the same time, you don't have to do it in front of the goyim. So they waited. In fact, this way the story went out is that the daughter herself was sensitive and waited till there wasn't any cars going by and took the tissues out and, you know, and put them on the sidewalk. You know, so again, it's a very careful balance. But Kiddush Hashem is doing what Hashem wants us to do. That's what Kiddush Hashem is, and that's what really earns the respect of the goyim. Is that we have principles and we keep by them, and that's there's no other people in the world that have such long-lasting, stark principles as us, and that earns their respect, and that's where we have to be an orla amim. The just one last point is that we have to daven for this. He writes and we say in the morning about Az panim, Azus panim, and Ben Bris, ain't no Ben Bris. I mean, you know, to have more kavana, we say that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me make it through the day with these people that they're making fun of me and the chutzpah to me and Jewish, not Jewish. Sometimes if they're Jewish, it's even harder or whatever. It's even harder to deal with. But the you know, we need to daven. Something we have to daven for. And when we talk to EMTs working on Shabbos, you know, Hatzalah people, or doctors that have to deal with issues of Shabbos, or doctors that are, you know, dealing with the woman. So obviously, there is an exposure here, which is, you know, a necessary exposure, a pikuach nefesh, driving a car on Shabbos to save a life, driving an ambulance, you know, is mutter and is a mitzvah. But at the same time, maybe it shouldn't be this way, but if you do it all the time, the Kedusha Shabbos, the Chashivas Shabbos, it does get a little bit lighter. Someone is dealing with women all the time, and OBGYN, or whatever the case might be, you know, the proper sensitivities naturally are not as, you know, person is not as, not where they should be. And it's, it's very important. Anytime you're doing this, and I'm talking to myself, myself too. I deal with a lot of different people myself, and you have to be careful not to lose sensitivities. So you have to balance it out in the other direction. So I tell you, if someone is a Hatzalah, a member of Hatzalah, be a little extra makvid and muksa. Maybe keep them, you know, not saying you got to be so machmir and everything. Be a little more medaktik and muksa. Pick a few chumas in Borer. You know, maybe a little extra machmir to balance things out. You know, you're driving a car on Shabbos, which is a mitzvah to do, but you need to balance it out You have to be a little careful the other way. Person deals with woman, he's a woman doctor, whatever it out, you know, and there's a exposure, okay, it's about vidita tarit, and it's mutter, v'chule, and this is parnasa. Yeah, but maybe be a little extra careful in dealing with women and other issues outside of your practice. Be a little extra more chomer in talking to women and things of that nature. Be more extra careful in Shmiras Shanayim, maybe more than the average, just to balance things out. And I think any exposure we have to goyim, the nibul peh we hear, and the lack of tzniyus that exists, and just the whole avira, it's very important that our bias has to be a haven of kedusha. Maybe even more than if we weren't, than if we were in the base medrash all day, you know, and we didn't need our house to be the source of our kedusha. So if a person's exposed to it, he has to make sure to not bring it home, not bring all that home, not bring that exposure to his children and to his wife and children, and adrava, to maybe even be more careful that there should be extra kedusha in the house to like balance it out, and as far as periodicals and things that come into the house. So on the average, say, okay, this thing is all right. But maybe now that he has such exposure at work, maybe he should be more careful that, you know what, I want my house to be mamish a mokum kedusha. As far as books and things in the house, as far as things that are talked about in the house, because you got to balance it out. And it's very important. This balance is very important. So even though you're doing the right thing, you're going to work, and that exposure, about vidita tarit, you know, was kemen tan, you know, that's what Kodesh Baruch wants you to do, it is tekuf in your life. But it's not hutra, it's begeder tehuya. And it's an exposure, even bikurach nefesh on Shabbos is tehuya, we paskin, you know. It's according to the pashas, the way we paskin, you know. So you got to balance it out. And it's very, these are very important yisodos in being matzliach in this avodas Hashem. And it really is in avodas Hashem. If a person really does this avoda properly, the proper hashkafa and continuous chizuk that he gives, and certainly Shabbos is the time to get between, you know, get that chizuk to make it through the rest of the week, take advantage of Shabbos. A person can really grow from this, can really be an orla amin, but not just in his hashpa and the goyim, and as being a role model, but himself, a certain shleimus a person could achieve, and when he goes out to work, that it could run a shleimus in really being a true Eved Hashem. It could really be a tremendous ta'alus for him as mishpacha if it's done the right way. It's not just a bidi Eved. He could really grow from it. We see in Chazal with concern, shelo yomod mimaseyim, shelo yomod mimaisov. Chazal asered charging a goy ribbis. You're allowed to charge a goy ribbis. According to Rambam, it's a mitzvah to charge a goy ribbis, give him a loan with ribbis. But the Gemara in Ezo Neshach says that Chazal asked it, because Chazal were concerned that if you're involved with him in this business of the loan, he owes you money, you know, you're going to be dealt with him, you're going to learn from his maisim. Chazal gave different exceptions where it's mutter. And the Rishonim, Tosfos and others already in Ezra Nefesh say that in their time, in the time of Rishonim, the Gezeirah no longer applied. We need a Rishon to say that, and that's why even Rishonim themselves, the Rush and others, did that for a living. But we see this sensitivity of very being careful, Shelo Yomam Memaisav. And we also see that Chazal had many Gezeirahs involving Chasanis, and they were sure food oriented. As far as drinking staminum, as far as pasakum, which eventually wasn't niskabel lagamre, now today is more just a chumra of a bishulakum, which is an isadrabanan, all because of chasness. In fact, they bring down b'shem Hashem Azam Rovach Zatzal. He says, what is the cause of the assimilation rate is so high today? He said, because people are not being medactic enough in bishulakum. You know, relying on certain kulas which are pretty shvach and things. We think it's so subtle, you know, what difference does it make of which food item do you buy and everything else. He says, you know, that Chazal were misaking this, and you have to be very careful about it. And, you know, we don't realize what subtle things could cause. Now, Chazal tell us, and this is not mentioned in Mishnah, mentioned the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, they're not allowed to drink beer in a goy's house, in a goy's store, call it in a bar. And that's even if you're all by yourself. You just go into a bar, and you know, the bar is empty. No one's there. It's part of the day which, you know, is empty. And you just buy a beer and just go to your own little table and drink it there. That's usur, because you're drinking it in a bias of a goy, and that is an issue of chasenis. That itself is in type of intermingling that could come to Rechman Shlan to intermarriage. It's only usur if it's bedera kviyas. If you're just going in there because, you know, you're sweating, everything's got to down a fast beer, dera harai, okay. But if you're there in kavur and you take out the newspaper and you read it, whatever it might be, take out a sefer, whatever it is, and you know, you're mamish, you know, kavur, and it's hard to find exactly where to draw a line between a rye and kavua, but it's about, you know, from kavua, and it's that's lav dafka wine, but well, lav dafka beer, but you know, other types of you know, pashas and halacha the way Machara brings down, I mean, other types of alcoholic beverages, and the truth is they're opposing the one at Taina. Perhaps even non-alcoholic beverages, some hold. Maybe even a coffee house, drinking coffee in a kavurtika fashion would be usur, according to the Machaber, the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rush. Comes the Ramah, and the Ramah says that the minig amongst Ashkenazim is three meko, that ein lano ela masha gozu chazal, tremendous chiddush. Chazal only usurred sheikhar of tamarim, which is the main type of beer in their time. Not the beer that we have, not the Budweiser that we have, and if for today, our beer is made out of tavua and is not made out of dates, and therefore it's not nilchul in the gezeira, and therefore it's mutter. Not everyone was maskim with the Ramah, and some held that the pashas is a tremendous chiddush, and was pashas one should not be samach on this so easily. Some poskim made psharas that you don't have to be so machmir like the mechaber, which possibly could even ask their coffee. Only mamish beer or schnapps, something of that nature, and not coffee, something like that. But all beer will be usher. But the mice that we have Ramah, and who says that to minig, and you know, many poskim go like the Ramah that beer is mutter. Now this is so therefore, you know, certainly. Coffee, lemaisa poskim or meko. That certainly aliba the for Ashkenazim. That even when we machmer all beers, but you know, coffee in a coffee house would be mutter, assuming everything else is you know, as far as kashrus is fine. The now that's bringing it all by yourself in a goy's house, in a goy's mukum. If you take the beer home, or obviously it's not a problem. Come to the Rambam, and the Rambam says to drink wine, and we could add in any alcoholic beverage, in a chabura of goyim. Chabura of goyim means that there's more goyim than yidden. Or some would even say 50-50, you know, but it's not a majority of yidden. It's a chabura of goyim. That's usur, and that's usur even in the yid's house, that you're not allowed to drink with goyim. And even though the wine is 100% kosher, and the mahadim and the mahadrin, and it's mufushul, v'chule, v'chule, and you know, everything is kosher as far as you know, kosher is concerned, but to drink it with goyim, that's usur. It's interesting that this is not brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The Torah brings it down, the Gedolei Achronim bring it. but it's not written in Shulchan Aruch, but it's a Farish of Rambam. The first can discuss where exactly Rambam knew this from, and it's something that one has to be careful about. So you're drinking with Goyim, and even in the Yid's house, you're not allowed to drink with Goyim. The Gemara brings down that Shmuel drank wine, it was Yayin Mevushel, with Avlet, with a Goyim. And so the post can explain, that was one-on-one. That's why it was mutter. It was one-on-one, you know, just with a single Goyim. But once already it was, you know, a whole group of Goyim, mostly Goyim, or half Goyim, you know, that already that already is us. Again, this is Mishum Chasanus. There's a Gemara in the Avodah Zarah that says very interesting word in Davches. Being on a Bryce said there, Rabbi Shmuel, Mer Yisrael Shebuchutz Laretz Obdei Avos Gochavim Matarahim. It's an interesting term. You know that they're really in a subtle way they're doing Avodah Zarah without even realizing it. Obdei Avodah Zarah Matarahim. And I think that's a concept that we could apply in many applications. There's like certain things that if we kind of realize it, say, what in the world am I doing? You know, it's like, it's a very subtle Avodah Zarah, so to say. What's the case? Ketzer. A goy is making a mishnah lebeno. He's making a chasana. The person can say, la dafka chasana. The verse says, any simcha-oriented type, like, you know, party for some type of simcha. And goy is making something for a simcha, and he invites yidden to his simcha. V'zimein kolai yehudim shabiro, you know, inviting all his, you know, very friendly, inviting all the yidden to this he's making a wedding. Avi sha'okun mishalhem v'shosim mishalhem, you know, they have a kosher caterer, separate caterer, and they're eating and even separate tables and everything. V'shamen, they got their own waiter. Omer lefneihem malalei makosu kilokum mizibchei mesim. And so even though the food is kosher and everything, but this interaction is dangerous. And that's what's brought down halacha, brought down Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that one is not allowed to go to base mishta of goyim. And even the food is all kosher, and you're not even drinking any wine or anything, or, and you're even on your own table and everything, separate tables, but to be part of this, you know, party of a goy is usher. The poskim dan, is there a heter of Ava? And if he's going to feel bad if you don't go to it, it could have a negative effect. And then Ava is very careful to know how to apply Ava. We see that Chazal have certain heterim mishum Ava, and the Rishonim dan on it. In fact, it's a Chazanish, who in his understanding of the Ran writes that if something's mutter mishum Ava, is not so pasha to be machmir and say, I don't care about Ava. No, you know, we're not supposed to make bad feelings if they're not necessary amongst us, between us and the goyim. If Chazal said something mishum Ava is mutter, then we have to be sensitive to that, not to cause Ava. You know, it's dangerous. It's not right to cause Ava. You shouldn't just say, I don't care about Ava. You know, I mean, you know, you have to be very careful about it. And you have to use your seichel. We can't take Ava lightly. At the same time, we can't loosely apply Ava. It's not like everything's mutter mishum Ava. Ritva and others say, for example, Bishul Akum is not mutter mishum Ava. Because Chazal wanted that little type of Ava. They wanted you not to necessarily eat with them. You know, that's an Ava that Chazal wanted to exist. And they answered it because of, they didn't want that interaction. So you have to be very careful not to use Ava lightly. At the same time, you can't be too firm about it, because if something's mutter mishum Ava, then it's not so pasha that we should be machmir. So here the poskim dan, is there a heter of Ava here? Maybe Gufa, as a Taz, is more, Chazal wanted that there should be some, you know, subtle Ava over here or not. Or maybe there is a heter. And that's machlokas aposkim over there, and you have to know how to, you know, that's a shali, one has to ask. Now, this is dafka if it's a party. It's a there's some simcha that the goy has. He's making it a wedding. And interesting, Ravadia says that Tzal has a tshuva about a Muslim who invited the yid into a wedding and everything. And is there a heter to go or not? He's not over to Avodah Zarah. Maybe that's better or not. He's in the tshuva's harash that dawns on this issue about the wedding. Talks about a Yishmaeli. Talks about a. Okay, so yeah, I have to know, you know, again, it's something you not to write a tshuva about. You have to know how to balance it out. But if it's a regular social event, it's not a party, it's just a social event, then we never see that that is usher. You know, then you should, that's just a shalom event, you know, which means a social type event. And it wants to get to know you, and everything, you know, which is very common in the work field, to bring a certain, you know, friendship between them and working together. And so the so that we see is mutter. A lot of times when they have these parties or your December 25th, January 1st type parties, the truth is at the end of the day, we all know they're really just social events. They're really not too much part. You know, we're not Jews. They're not too religious. You know, are they covered by this Isser Simcha? You know, I don't know. I'm not sure if that's, you could tie that it really, at the end of the day, just an excuse to have a social event. And social event purely is, there's no isser by it. But at the same time, it should be uncomfortable to go to it. And a person should try their hardest to get out of it. But it's a balance. A person has to know whether it could affect their job or not. Maybe if the report's not going to come out so good, if they don't go, they're sure they're not part of the club and everything. And it's a balance. One has to know when to go, how long to stay. They want you always to bring your wife and sometimes the family, if it's a crab and watermelon baseball game. So you definitely, shouldn't bring your wife or your children, but maybe they're going to feel bad if you don't. Should she just show up and show her face or not? You got to know. You know, these are all independent shilas. I don't want to even speak about them in a public forum because, you know, you really have to know it's case by case. But just realize that it's not hutra, it's tuchuya. You know, these are things that if you get out of it, you know, you definitely try to get out of it. It's, so they're not usher, if it's just a plain social event. You have to be careful not to drink beer, any alcoholic beverage there at these. It's a mesiva shel goyim. But one has to be careful. Kol lefi ha'inyan, we should say by that. There are Chazal tell us that we're allowed to partake and be involved in the levaya and the kvura of goyim, yishum darchei shalom. And if a member of one's firm, one who works with, they themselves passed away, or a relative of theirs or whatever, and it's important yishum darchei shalom to partake in some way in the burial, in the funeral. So Mishum Darchi Shalom is mutter, and it's important that be careful about that. If it's held in a base tifla in a church, obviously you're not allowed to go. If it's just to make some funeral home, then it's all right. Depending also how religious it is. Usually you get away with it by just showing up by the wake where the body is just shown there, and you show your face. You went to the wake, they saw you there, whatever it was. Just be careful. You're not supposed to leave a stockle in a mace, so don't stare at the mace. But just to show up, and they should see that you care for them. You're part of their tsar and everything. And usually that's enough. If you need to partake more, and it does perhaps involve something which might overlap, some religious event that is a priest or someone who is speaking, then one should ask a child exactly, where to draw the line, how much interaction, how much involvement can you have. The Chazal tell us that you have to be careful that when you when food is in the hands of a goy, and you're sending food with the goy, the more in the first paragraph of Ezra says, then we're concerned that although the food is kosher, but right now it's in the hands of a goy, he might be machlifit, he might switch it. He might see that, hey, this kosher food is, he has a tiber for it, and he'll switch it for something which might not be the same quality. It's not going to be too far off, because then it'll be nicker, but he sees that your steak, whatever, seems to be a little better than his, so he'll switch it in a way that you won't be able to notice. And he's not saying it's been mazed, because I weren't concerned about that, unless you see some type of concern that he's trying to be machshir you. But he does it for his own purpose, his own gain. And therefore, when we send that type of food item, it has to be, have chosmos, has to have certain type of signs on it, has to be bound, tied up in certain ways, that there's a certain amount of tircha that it takes to unwrap it, undo it, to get to the food item, to change it, and wrap it back up, and there has to be enough of a tircha to stop the person. So there has to be like a chosim on it. The way we paskin, based upon the Gemara, many shown in the Gemara, that if it's a deraisa type food item, meaning that if this item were to be trade for Venusa deraisa, it would be switched for trade food, then you need two chosamas. You need that extra amount of tircha, a double amount of tircha. And if it's drabanan, you need just one chosim. And this is a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch, not from the easier simonim in Shulchan Aruch. So I'm not going to get to all the different details about it, and the different exceptions and the different issues. But that's the inyan of that Chazal were concerned about, that there be machlif to food. This has nothing to do with Bashrush and the Salamina Ayim. A lot of times it's a Lashon Mush'al. People adapt the term when they discuss this type of issue of going and switching food in the refrigerator at work, whatever it is, your lunch, and it's Basar Zamin and Hedayim. Basar Zamin Ayin is a Gemara in the Seven Perkechulim, a tremendous, we would call it perhaps like a far-fetched chumra. The Chazal were concerned that if you have meat lying outside, like for example a barbecue, and you go inside the house, that a crow might have come down, picked up your steak, your hamburger, your hot dog, switched it with an extra neighbor's barbecue, or whatever, and brought another hot dog in its place. Very far-fetched. The poskim themselves call it a chum of Chazal. It's not a regular takana gzera. This is a Chazal themselves were, where this is an extra chumrah. And it's machlokas, the Gemara machlokas, the Rambam is very machmir about it. There are chaver, or Moz more mekel about it, that as long as you found the item in the same place, you come out and your hot dog is on the barbecue in the same way, you don't have to assume that a crow went and took it. If it's in your house, you definitely don't have to, a crow came into your house and took it. If a goy is there by the barbecue, you don't have to be worried that the goy is going to stop a crow from taking it. In fact, the Gemara says, a goy is alright, a goy is helpful. So that's the Sigat Basher Shizamin Ayin, which is Dafka meat oriented. Being Machlif had nothing to do with meat. Potato chips are a problem. Maybe they switch this open bag potato chips for trade potato chips. There are potato chips that are made in lard and things like that. It could be candies. I have these nice cinnamon candies here on my desk. And maybe he switched them with trade cinnamon candies. It applies to anything. It applies to cloth. I have these pieces of leather that were mu'ubid lishma, and maybe the guy switched with a piece of leather that are not mu'ubid lishma. It has nothing to do with food, nothing to do with meat. There's anything that a goy would switch, that by switching it, it will be tray, puzzle, whatever it is, whatever it's sitis, whatever it is, we're worried that they might have switched it. And if it, by switching it will be a deraisa issue, I need two chosamas. It'll be a drabanan issue, I need one chosam. Except for wine. Wine, even stay as tangin, is drabanan. Chazal Mach, you need two chosamas. That's a sugya in itself. So, and so that's by right. When people are concerned about the maid in the house, that, you know, what about the meat? What do I mean the meat? The candy, the potatoes, the chocolate chip cookies, everything. Anything that is sold out there that's trafe, it'll be a problem. You know, everybody's only concerned about the meat. It applies to anything. And there's no chiluk. Potato chips will also need two chasamas. What's the heter to go and buy potato chips in the store? And all the R's sealed with one seal. There's only one chosam, not two. So I have to say, Moshe says this type of svara, that if it's a single chosam, but it's so hard to forge, and, you know, unless you have the machinery to go and, you know, open it up and have to melt it back together, and that much tircha, you know, buy that, you know, say, what about a can item? A can item is only one chosam. Yeah, but it's so, and to go and put the can back together and put it back in another can, you know, that's a single chosam that has a din of two chosamas at least. You know, that's the heter. We don't even realize that. Your candies need two chosamas, or something has a din of two chosamas. Your potato chips, your corn chips, anything that's sold out there, trade. Okay, get the Don or Rove of the items in the world, in that city, trade. Maybe most potato chips are kosher. Okay, Don and Rove and things like that, and, you know, whatever it might be. But it's an issue by everything. And therefore, your cheese sandwich at work is the same as your salami sandwich at work. Comes Tosfos and says that his whole concern is only when you're nena b'chalif, when the goy is nena b'chalif. He has what to gain out of it. That your steak is better than his, your cheese is a little better than his, your potato chips a little better than his potato chips, a little fresher, whatever it might be. But if you don't have anything to gain, he's going to do a lahakis we're not concerned about, and it's not worth his time. He wants some fresh potato chips. There's plenty around in the store. And not always going to steal it. He's going to switch it. You know, so you're not gaining anything monetary-wise so much over here, really. By the way, there's a story about the Barbanel. The Barbanel dealt with goyim. If anyone wants to read in the Hakdama to one of his svarim on Tanakh, he writes about how it is dealing with goyim and how he's so happy he's no longer dealing with them anymore. And Nebuchadnezzar, he was really taken advantage of and everything, and a child of his was forcibly taken off the derech, forced to go off the derech. I mean, like, it was a terrible life that he had, you know, tragedies that came. But the story that he was with a certain king, and they had and he had his kosher food there, and he was. He was eating, and then the king said, "Let's look outside. There's something, you know, I don't know, something was happening outside." And meanwhile, they went. This was Lahakis. They went and switched the food, and on him. And when he came back, the barbanel said, "I can't eat it." I said, "Why? Why not? Why not?" He said, "I can't eat it. You know, I took my eye off of it. You know, we all went to the window to look out and everything, and I can't eat it anymore." They said, "Come on, give it a bake, whatever." And then they admitted and they switched it. But that's lahakis. We're not kosher for that. You know, he knew already who he's dealing with, and then, so he was kosher for that. You know, we don't have to be kosher for that in normal circumstances. And but only so when it's nena b'chalipin, the mechaber ramam bring this tosas down the halacha, and there's good reason to say that bismanenu, that there's so much available. And you know, we have grocery stores and everything that on the average is not nana mechalipim. The goy doesn't need your cheese, and doesn't need your corn chips, and doesn't need your salami, and there's no reason for them to have to go and switch it and everything. Wine is more chumer. I'm not talking about wine, but outside of wine, we could assume that on the average they're not nana mechalipim. The Maritz argues of Tosfos and holds Chazal answered it no matter what. And most persons don't go like the Maritz. The Hashkachas are machmir, and that's why when you buy meat and things of that nature, they always make sure there's two chosamas on it, and all of kashrus. Again, it's not just meat. All things really need like two chosamas. The truth is, not everything really has. And yogurts don't have two chosamas, and you know, cream cheese doesn't have two chosamas, and I guess at the end of the day, we're not always kosher for the Maritz. Again, sometimes by meat, you know. People are more machmir about even hashkachas because the Hamonam, you know, is more machmir than that. But you can't be naive, and you have to be careful. You know, that things aren't switched, and sometimes accidentally. But at the end of the day, if it's not Nineveh Chalipim, then the Mice is Mutter. So if you're taking your lunch to work and keeping it in the public refrigerator and public kitchen, as long as you don't see it was tampered with, it's all right. You know, and even though that halakhically you don't have two chasamas, even if you put some scotch tape on your lunch bag, it's not two chasamas. And even if it's not fleishiks, as we mentioned, it'll still be a problem. Maybe the bread was switched. You know, maybe, as long as you see it's the same food, it doesn't look like it's tampered with. You know, then it's all right. You could even leave the lunch there lechatila. And we don't have to be choshes about nenem chalipim in that. Sometimes they want to bring kosher food for you. They're having a little event and everything else. They want to bring a cake, cookie, something from the bakery. Usually the bakeries in town, when they see a goy come in, so they purposely, sometimes they make sure to put tape on it, or at least put a sticker on it, that it says ABC Kosher Bakery. So now, you come to the convention room, conference room, and you see this box of cookies there that has a Kosher Bakery sign on it. It might have a piece of tape on it, which is halakhically really not enough. That's not two chosamas. There are times that you ever were semech on one. A lot of times, you know, the tape is already broken or there wasn't any tape, but it has a sticker on it. Pashas, if it has a sticker on it, we don't have to be choshes that they got a box from a kosher bakery and put those, you know, different cookies in it and everything. Unless you know. Nebuch, I know cases where a person had non-firm relatives that lahachis switched things on it. You know, it's a very sad story. Okay, but that, on the average, we don't have to be cautious for that. So ideally, if they're asking you what to do, ideally it's better if you yourself go and pick up those cookies, or if the cookies came with some tape in it or something. That's certainly the ideal. But, you know, not everything always works out that way. And if you don't eat the cookies, and they went out of the way to get it for them, they're very offended by it and everything. And you do have to be makir tov, that they're machshev, and they go out of the way for you. So when they bring cookies, or they bring food, you know, and Chinese chicken, whatever it is, whatever they bring for you, as long as it's in the original container, and that container has a sign on it that says where it's from, and you know where it's coming from, it's a kosher place, then it's fine, you can eat from it. Again, ideally, you yourself should try to pick it up. If it didn't work out that way, then it's fine. Now, the question comes up that what happens if they are a little too aggressive and they already put it all out? And can you rely on that you go to the garbage and you see that the only container there is kosher, you know, that it came from there or not? Okay, so this already is a shayla. This is beyond the scope of the shir, and that's something you have to ask. When could we samech on umdana? You know, and that you have to be very careful. Can't, you know, when to be samech on umdana, not especially by deraisis. But so that's really, if it's in the original container still, then you're safe. You know, the cake, the cookies, the meat, anything that is that, then it's all right. Otherwise, you know, one should ask a shayla. By eating with goyim, when they're eating their treif food, so there's a concern, Chazal were concerned that when you're eating fleishiks and someone else eating milchiks, that you might start sharing food. Chazal only were machmir, the Gemara in the 8th paragraph of Chulin, if you knew, you're familiar with this person. You have no idea, there might be there's another yid, but you know, I have no idea who they are. So you go to the cafeteria and you're eating milchiks, and another yid's eating fleishiks at the same table, but you don't really know them. So then we're not worried you're going to start sharing food. If you do know them, then you need some type of hecker in between that has some type of height that's recognizable, and you know, so you know, something like this. As long as it has to catch the eye, depending how flat it is or whatever. And you have to have Rigova Ptsas, as the Taz writes in Hilchos Basar B'Cholov, then you catch the eye. Or you're eating on two separate placemats, and you usually don't eat on placemats, so that itself is a hecker. They're eating on a placemat, you're eating on the surface of the table. It has to be some type of hecker. If you're eating so far away that you're out of reach, then the Bach says it's also all right. Now what about eating of someone with a goy? And a goy that you recognize. He's eating their, he's eating his crabs, eating his trade food, and you're eating your kosher lunch, and you're eating there together, and are we kosher? You're going to start sharing food. Comes the shach, and the shach says that that's already your bodumine. You know, trade food, you stay away from. You know, there's no, if it's kosher, this is the other gender, it's milchik, it's fleshik, but you know, it's all kosher, you might start eating it. But the trade food, even not crabs, even if it's hot dogs or hamburgers, it's, you know, something which could be kosher, but nice, it's you know, straight, and you know, you're bottom. And he's more macher by bread, right? If it's trade bread, he's more macher by. But outside of that, we're not worried he's going to start sharing food. This is not by chametz. If you happen to be cholamoid in a cafeteria, and you're eating your matzah, he's eating his chametz, their chazal were concerned, they were more macher by that. They also said the word that his crumbs of his chametz might even come into your food, and if even a heker won't work. So the bechla, you should eat somewhere else. I had a case that someone had to eat with, there was a, they had to eat with goyim. The dafka wanted this person to eat at the same table, and it was during Pesach. They had to have this meeting. They wanted everyone to eat at the same table. So I called up for this person. It was a member of our show. I called up, and I said that, you know, it's you know, it's the Passover holiday. To, you know, can this person just eat? So they'll eat in the same room, eat right next, but on a separate table. You know, I said, all right, for fine. They gave permission to eat at a separate table. You know, but it wasn't easy. It was like, Mom, it's 2 days before Pesach. Every Pesach, we were working on this. And it was, so that's, so, but if it's trade food, we're not worried, except for bread, which the shach is machen. Not everyone's machen by that then, but we're not worried you're going to start sharing food. The shalah comes up about going to a restaurant. That, going to a trade restaurant. You're either not eating there, or you'll just have a drink, or as far as having just cut up fruit, the pashas from the Ramah is that regular cut up fruit, as long as nothing is harif, and pineapples are not so harif enough to be an issue, and grapefruit is not harif enough, but the average fruit is not considered harif. Regular cut up fruit, even though there's a chance they might have used a trave knife. But you know, we could assume that the mice at the end of the day is it'll be kosher. Now you have to be careful because sometimes people have gotten that all the ingredients are kosher. It's a regular fruit salad, but there's a, you know, little piece of shrimp in there or something, or you know, they put some lemon juice on it, which you don't know what the source was. You know, so but assuming that it's a regular kosher fruit salad, it looks, you know, 100% regular fruit salad. And then this is kosher. You know, again, if you want to be machanon as azhara, I don't even eat fruit salad out. Okay, you know, it's some, you know, there's always room for chumras in that. But mikra din at least is kosher. Certainly, when you see you got to eat something, then you could do that. A regular silverware that's clean, even though it's tray, but you're just eating it with, it's all clean. You can assume it's clean. It looks clean, and you're eating something that's cold. Or it's cups and forks and plates. And then you could eat that. You could use those in yonim. Then that's as far as the pure lach is concerned. Now we have a marasayan issue that you're going into a restaurant which is clearly treif. That's him going into is not usur, but people obviously know people go into restaurants not to use the restroom unless it's some, you know, on the highway or whatever, but obviously they're going to eat there. People don't usually go to restaurants just to get a Coke. So the Chorad is Marasayan. You could tie now that maybe Chazal only asked Marasayan on a pula which is intrinsically the Marasayan issue. Here, there's nothing intrinsically wrong going into the restaurant. It's only what's going to happen afterwards. We do see Chazal asked going into a city of Avodah Zarah. You know, you're just traveling through, and that's different conditions, only when it's the only road to go through and everything. And because our word, you know, why is a person going to the city? Must be to do Avodah Zarah. Okay, maybe it's a chumra of Avodah Zarah. They answered it. Maybe, and you know, it's hard to know how to be Magdir Marasayan. There are Gedolim that held that we don't just make up our own Marasayans, but most posts can say that we do apply Marasayans Hakol Efi Hazman V'Hamakom. Ramosha writes in the Tshuva that it is Marasayan. He writes a certain case would be an exception, but generally speaking, he says it is Marasayim. The shir was written in the end of the 1950s. The truth is, Bismanenu, it's so commonly done, the better for the worse, and that it's so commonly done. I can't speak for Moshe, but the pashas and halacha is that we can't say it's us because of Marasayim. Because you know, it's so commonly done, especially in, you know, when it's done as a group with work and everything else. They know that there's always it's very common for Yidden to go into restaurants wearing their yarmulke and everything, and there's a rush. The rush says that when Chazal asered al shatnez because of Marasayan sewing certain fabrics with wool, because they looked like Pishtun. So it says one of them, for example, was silk. Silk in the time of Chazal looked very Pishtun-like. And therefore, also Marasayan or Zasha, says the Rush, Bismanenu, it's so commonly done that it's not Marasayan anymore. People know about it, people understand, and people are not going to be choshesh. That's the heter for our power of ice cream and power of milk, you know, for putting creamers in the coffee and everything. Originally, when it first came out, it probably was us, you know, pashas. But eventually, when it's so commonly done, and it's so understood and so known, it's not Marasayan anymore. We could say the same thing the Gabi restaurants say, you know, that 50 years after Moshe wrote that tshuva, you know, it's not Marasayan anymore. Again, is it the ideal? It definitely isn't. I think none of us enjoy doing it. And we shouldn't get used to it. That it's not, when you, it doesn't bother you anymore, that's when there's a problem. And it's by all these things. They should always bother you. They should always feel that, I wish I didn't have to do it. If it doesn't bother you anymore, then that's what we're concerned about. So the Maisa Mikra Din, you know, it's mutter. It's only when necessary, and many times it is necessary. You know, it's mutter. It's certainly ideal if it's, you go into a restaurant and then the eating is itself done in a conference room or something. But even if you have to eat in the restaurant itself, you know, the Maisa is all right. It's interesting. Moshe, although he's machmir about going into the restaurant, once you're in the restaurant itself, he's not worried about people in the restaurant being kosher to you. He says, then it is nicker that you're not eating the regular food. So that's why I tell people that even if you're bringing your own food, or they're getting double wrapped, properly double wrapped, and we'll discuss those because another should discuss those alochas. But it should be nicker that you're not eating with them. Don't try to use the same plates and everything and make it like, you know, the more nicker that you're not eating the same food as them. You got a paper bag, you got aluminum foil around you, you got thing, you know, you don't have to make a whole scene. But the more nicker that you're not with them in this, and it is, I'm feeling, you know, uncomfortable, but it certainly helps out in the Marasayim. Again, you can't drink any, even beer or things with the Yasser, regular soda is fine. And then one should wear the yarmulke, even if you're going to a restaurant thing. That one should think, well, be from, you know, I don't want to be Marasayan, I'll take off my yarmulke. Now, wear your yarmulke. The more you stand out as a yid, as sometimes as difficult as it is, but that's part of the Kiddush Hashem. It's part of the Kiddush Hashem that we have principles and we stay with them, and that's the tremendous Kiddush Hashem that we are constantly making. So these are some halachas. There's more. I think with this we'll have to make a series out of this. But I forgot to mention one thing. As far as when a goy brings food, so the goy brought food from a kosher restaurant, kosher bakery, and there's no siman on it. You know, the bakery didn't write. You don't know where it's coming from, and you can't really. There's no real tzvias ayin on it. Even goyim make rugalach. You know. I don't know about cockish cake, but I don't know. But okay, but even go ahead and make a. There's no neman. Goyim have no nemanis. As emistic as this goyim might be, and as trustworthy as you might have in your regular friendship with this goy, Chazal, a goy does not have nemanis. everything he says is like nothing. You know, it's interesting. I was learning shchita. So we went to Shechta here in Haifa. And so we shechted a few cows over there. And and then there was a shaila on one of the on the shechita of one of the cows. I was doing the shechita. I was a beginner, and the goy, the Arab, didn't have any patience for me. And as soon as I finished the shechita, he started cutting up the animal and everything. And it was a regular shock place, you know, it was a professional place. And but you're supposed to check the simonim beforehand. So I certainly wasn't able to. My teacher, who was there, he checked the simonim, but you know, he didn't. He also felt that he didn't get a good hand on it, and this Arab just, you know, got in the way before he could able to see from his angle that the simonim were really shechtim. So the goy knew Hilchus Shechita. And the goy is telling him, Akol b'seder, Akol b'seder, ani re'iti, Akol shachut, Akol b'seder, Shmi simanim, Akol b'seder. So my teacher, you know, he went like that, you know, it looked like at first, you know, he was like listening to him. So we got into the car, we had to go somewhere else, put simanim on all the meat and everything. And he was a Yemenite, very stark, really good, old-fashioned Yemenite. He said, "Kol devayim devay shav zechamor, imachamor meir zem zechol b'seir zetov zechamor." And he was like, he just, you know, as soon as the door closed the car, he gave a whole schmooze that it was like, you know, keep a sarm b'sachamor, like Sfaradim always quoting Pesukim and everything, you know, Chazal's reference, I mean, the, you know, the Tanakh's reference to Goyim. You know, he said, you know, you can't. Then I'll just tell you what it is. We took the simonim with us to Mordechai Yehuda Zatzal, who was a big bucky in Germany. He was holding in Kol HaTorah Kula, but especially at in Shechita, and checking the Chalav, you know, he was very big. Nizan Yonah made a very big kiyas in. And then he paskin that it's clear from the angle the simonim were cut, they were cut by the shochet and not by the Arab, because the Arab is coming from a different angle. So he held that it was pashut that the simonim were, and the meat was kosher, and mahadamina mahadrin. But you know, you can't trust him. And the question is, there's different umdanas and this and that. How, you know, again, that gets to umdanas, which is very dangerous sugya. You have to be very careful about, you know. But the pure halacha is that, you know, he's saying, you know, I went and bought it in this store and everything else, you know. It could be if you call that store and then you say, did you know this person who came in? Okay, maybe that would be a way of, but, you know, if they tell you, and I went and bought it down the block, there's a kosher bakery, you're not allowed to rely on them. You're not allowed to rely on them. You know, it's you have to be careful because they may really feel bad or anything, but, you know, in a nice way, you have to explain to them. And it's, you know, something you have to be careful about. Yes, yeah, also someone not from not relying on either. So yeah, that's another sugya. Okay, these are just some basic examples and everything. And Mr. Shem, I think we know, especially in the month of Elul, part of our avoda and part of the avoda of Yom Ha'Arayim is that we mamlech Ribono Shel Olam, we're makarei Shem Shemayim, and we have ability to makarei Shem Shemayim b'rabim by keeping the halachas and having a positive interaction with goyim. Being proper, being an Orla Amim, Chakav Yizokha, as we daven for An Yom HaNeroyim so many times, that we daven for the day that ever all the Umas Olam will recognize that the Ribono Shel Olam and recognize the Hashivas of Klal Yisrael, Shal Yizokha, that Mehir V'Yameinu.